Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Got a Titans buy or sell edition coming up at 7:30. Looking forward to that. Going to be joined by former Titans linebacker Keith Bullock to begin the 8 o'clock hour. So looking forward to getting Keith's thoughts on what he's seen out of the 7-2 Titans thus far, including Joe Rexrode. His thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons, who was fantastic in this game on Sunday night against L.A., finishes with 3 sacks. Obviously, in addition to that, had the play that was not a sack that generates pressure on Matthew Stafford. He throws the pick. And the Titans end up scoring a touchdown on the next play. Totally changed the landscape of that game. And we've talked a lot about Jeffrey Simmons. He's been a really good player ever since he came into the league. But there's also been some talk of, all right, when is Jeffrey Simmons going to take that next step into becoming a dominant player on a week-in and week-out basis? We talked about, you know, there's a general manager on the list that Jeremy Fowler put out over the summer that said that Jeffrey Simmons was the closest thing in the league to Aaron Donald. Now, that's a heck of a bar to establish for someone, but that was an Aaron Donald-like game that Jeffrey Simmons had on Sunday. Look, I think it's, quite frankly, a little ridiculous to expect Jeffrey Simmons to play that way on a week-in and week-out basis, but that was a glimpse of how dominant he can be. My question for you is, did the way that Jeffrey Simmons played on Sunday maybe change what the expectation for him is as they move forward here?
Maybe around the league. I mean, I think it obviously brought maybe a lot of awareness to Jeffrey Simmons for people who don't watch his team normally. So it's probably going to increase the discussion about him. I don't know about internally. I will quote my favorite source of information, Pro Football Focus.
Oh, yes.
Now, here's where Pro Football Focus is fine. Now, the grades are just idiotic. By the way, Glennon has gone to this thing now where he, like, teases you.
I saw it.
Ryan Tannehill, whoever else, and click on this to read who has the best Pro Football Focus grades. I think the grading is incredibly stupid. However, you know, they can count things. They can count pressures. They can count, you know, they can count up, they count up DBs and what they give up. And get, like, stuff like that is useful. So, Pro Football Focus, I have no reason to doubt stuff like this. They say Jeffrey Simmons leads all defensive tackles in the NFL with 42 pressures this year. Aaron Donald is second with 41. Aaron Donald, and this matches up with like what we think of Aaron Donald, so it kind of shows you that here's where Pro Football Focus can be useful. Aaron Donald has been the league leader in that for 5 straight seasons. So, that matches up to Aaron Donald being dominant, also matches up to maybe it doesn't match up. Maybe it exceeds what you thought Jeffrey Simmons was doing this year.
Yeah.
Because last night, 3 sack. I mean, that's his signature moment in the NFL, without question. But, I mean, he's been pretty good this year. It probably hasn't made as many plays in some games as he would have liked, as he has said. But he's right in the middle of a lot of this rejuvenated pass rush. So, I do think that you see, look, I mean, Vrabel, I know every coach, not every coach uses the term, but every coach believes in things being process-oriented. And Vrabel, maybe more than others, that's all he talks about is like technique, technique, technique. You can get better. Danico Autry, you've been in the league. You've made a lot of plays. Well, this, and this can still get better.
Yeah.
And he said the other day, or he said yesterday, I guess, you know, that they're seeing that. They're seeing the benefits of some of the little tweaks on some of the coaching. And the same thing with Jeffrey Simmons. You can always get better. And I mean, so much of it is just little adjustments in that moment when you're trying to beat a blocker. Do you have a counter move? You know, you got leverage, you know, how you're reading a blocker. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that goes into just each snap. But Jeffrey Simmons seems to be coming into his own. And I mean, that was, from a pass rush perspective, he's been a very good physical player, but some of the agility, I thought, on those plays was eye-opening.
Well, I mean, I said coming into the year, the next step that I wanted to see from Jeffrey Simmons was in the pass rush and being able to generate more pressure on the quarterback, bringing that sack total up. I mean, I realize the sack total isn't everything, but I mean, here we are. We're 9 games into the year. He's already got a career high in sacks. He had 2 in his rookie year. He had 3 last year. He's got 5.5. I mean, he had as many sacks in the last game as he had all last year. So, to your point about the numbers with pressure, that adds up, but also the sack total adding up as well. I mean, this is a big year so far for Jeffrey Simmons. Then you factor in, you know, the play he makes against the Bills to stuff Josh Allen on the quarterback sneak, even though if you ask Chris Broussard, if Lawan was in for the Bills on that play, it would have been a different story. But Jeffrey Simmons making some big plays this year for this defense.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like that would have been huge, Lawan against. Yeah. I mean, what if Lawan could have been out there for the Rams the other night?
Yeah. You
know? I mean, I don't know if the Titans would have had the kind of sacks that they had.
Probably not.
Yeah, and that's the thing, from day one, I mean, as soon as he was able to get on the field in the 19th season, coming off the ACL, he had some of those goal line plays. So that's, you know, you get excited about stuff like that, but that still doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a prolific pass rusher. I mean, the other night, what he looked like to me was, he kind of looked like when Jarrell Casey was at his best, because that's one thing with Casey was, he was so elusive,
yep.
And he would stun you sometimes with his quickness, you know, and pass rush moves, and you know, Jeffrey Simmons, different player, different body, I mean, much more powerful at the point of attack than like Jarrell Casey, right? But well, I'm much more, I don't know, more of a bigger physical guy, but boy, if he's gonna play like that, they've got something cooking. With everybody
well,
out there.
Jeffrey Simmons certainly at this point, I would assume, trending in the direction of a first-round draft pick for John Robinson that ends up with a second contract here with the Titans.
I would say so. I would say so.
Which
would make him the first.
Yeah, you're going to end up with Bud Dupree, Harold Landry, and Jeffrey Simmons all getting paid?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. It's going to be tough to pull off.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, it's about this season and this team. You really would like to see Bud Dupree keep getting healthier and play more and make more plays. Made a huge play late in that game on the 4th-and-1, because you're invested in him. You're committed to him. I think you are going to be committed. You know, you're going to certainly pick up the option year. You know, for Simmons.
Sure.
Yeah, Landry. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, if you're going to try to make that work, which, I mean, look, I understand fans are like, wait, we have this great pass rush and we're not going to keep this together. I get it, but you go through the list and the numbers, you're going to need to cut some other stuff out of there.
Well, remember, another part of that conversation, we've talked about Lawan and what that could look like in the future. We also talked about Kevin Byard,
right.
And that's not looking like that's going to be a consideration much for the Titans right now. Wouldn't think so anyway.
Can you just do away with the salary cap for a couple of years? Yeah. No, they've got some tough choices for sure.
Just go win the Super Bowl, because apparently if you do that, the salary cap just doesn't apply the next year. Kansas City bringing back everybody, Tampa Bay just doing whatever they want out there.
Is that what it is? You get like an exception if
Guess
you
win
so. It. Yeah. But
seems that way.
But seriously though, go win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
This roster is going to look a lot different like next year.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Get to more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday, the Minnesota Vikings at the Los Angeles Chargers with a 3:05 kickoff. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Jeffrey Simmons and this Titans defense. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Kinston texting in. They can make both a Simmons and Landry contract work. Don't forget about the salary cap increase, and don't forget how they can structure it. Dupree has an $85 million contract and only a first-year cap hit of about $5 million this year. It's coming from Kinston.
Okay, so the cap hit this year.
Yeah, that's going to go up.
And I don't know off the top of my head where that goes. next year. Look, I'm not saying that they can't quote unquote make it work, but they cannot make it work and keep everyone else they'd like to keep. I mean, you have to make tough choices there. I mean, Kenson, look through the list. I am not awesome at math, but I can figure out looking at this that there's gonna have to be some tough choices if they want to try to give Harold Landry the deal that he is on his way toward earning, which is now there's also the tagging him scenario, which is certainly possible and could make for next year another good pass rush.
Yeah.
And that's certainly on the table, but that's also a pretty big number. I believe, though, the outside linebackers get a little bit hosed in that, don't they? Because it's linebackers in general that you're the average. So,
which sucks for them.
Yeah, sucks for them for sure. But that's on the table, clear for sure. Byard, Lawan. I mean, I think Lawan, it may be trending toward Lawan not here next year. But yep. I'm not convinced on that either. I mean, Kevin Byard is making himself, to me, indispensable, which is basically what he's been most of his career. I still, though, think Lawan is, if he comes back and you watch this offense function compared to what it looked like Sunday night, pretty big difference, I would say, if he's healthy. But that's the thing, is if he's healthy, and that's a lot of that answer the rest of this year is going to help dictate the decision.
By the way, the Bud Dupree cap hit is right at $5 million this year. Next year it jumps up to 19.2.
There you go.
So that's I guess you could restructure it again if you really wanted to.
I mean,
kick that sucker right down the road.
Right. Keep kicking the can, and some teams do. And especially we see teams, and we've seen teams like the Saints and the Eagles in recent years who have kind of gone into that where, like, we're so close, we're right there, we can't, lose 3-4 key guys. Let's do what we can to try to keep it together. At some point, the bill is due.
Liam texting in, who is Harold Landry? Is he the guy who drops off after getting paid or the guy who works hard to earn his money? I hate big contract years by players. Seems like fool's gold far too often. That does happen for sure. I kind of don't feel like Harold Landry is that guy. He kind of seems like the same guy he's always been. The production is just there this year.
I agree. I think the thing that is different about Harold Landry in a contract year is that the effort has been there. The execution is better. The production is better. The guy has been – I mean, first of all, he's been an Ironman. He's been on the field all over the place. He does everything. And even last year, on that bad defense, I think he was impressive a lot of the year. I mean, I think he was one of the few standouts on that defense. He's gonna end up double-digit sacks this year, and I just think that that's him improving as a player more than it's like, I got a contract year, now I'm going to play hard. He was already playing hard.
Nate text again, how much do you think Byard will command? Byard is under contract.
Yeah, Byard is locked up.
Yeah. So, but to answer your question, he's expensive. His cap hit this year is $15 million. His cap hit next year is $15.8 million. And his cap hit in 2023 is 17.4.
Oh, boy. Yep.
But he's playing so far this year, probably worth it.
In 2024, it goes down to 15.6.
There you go.
So he's locked up through that year. And obviously, who knows, the duration of that deal, could come up here in the next couple of years. But right now, I mean he's a leader and just a playmaker playing at a very high level right now.
Raymond texting in, somehow Dallas and Tampa make it work. We'll need to figure it out. That is what John Robinson gets paid the big bucks to do.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of, Julio Jones is another, for next year, Julio Jones' cap hit is 14.3. There's a lot of interesting ways this could go with various guys.
I got a texture that says, what is your way too early to tell guess of life after Tannehill? Just guessing that he's not going to pull a Tom Brady and be here at 46 years old. He's not probably going to be here at 46, but I do think he probably is going to be here the next 4 or 5 years. So I'm not really worried about life after Tannehill right now.
Yeah, I think there's a really good chance that there's another deal for him with the Titans. You know, we'll see. He is what exactly right now? He's 35? 34.
He's 33.
He's 33. I apologize. Yeah, 33. I mean, this is a second.
I know he had a stiff neck last week, but don't add years to him, right?
Yeah,
come on,
exactly.
Joe, don't age stiff. Tannehill.
See, hold on. See, so, now I have to put this on.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize you didn't have your headphones. I said, don't age Tannehill. Come on.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, sorry, Ryan. Yeah. Here, video.
Let's butter him up again tomorrow. Like, thank you for a question.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. How you feeling, buddy? You okay? Yeah. 33, second year, 2 years left on this. I mean, I think that there's a great chance that there's another deal tacked onto this.
Yep.
And probably a pretty good number relative to what other quarterbacks get paid. That's, to me, that's what you hope, is that he keeps playing like this. I know that the numbers this year are down quite a bit. I don't think his performance is down much. I think he's taken a few chances with some turnovers this year that we haven't seen as much. That's got to get cleaned up, but he's pretty good.
You talk about a cap number that changes next year.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill is $11 million cap hit right now. That's a $38.6 million cap hit next year, my friend. Right. That's quite a big difference.
Right. So that's what people have to keep in mind. He alone is like signing two big free agents next year. You know, with what his contract does. You know, Derrick Henry, does Derrick Henry's change a lot too? It's 15 next year, which again is just ridiculous value, obviously, for Derrick Henry, but that's what happens to running backs in this league. But yeah, Tannehill, $27 million jump next year. I mean, that mandates tough choices.
Well, we say that's why we say all this, to say this is right now for the Titans. You're 7-2. You're sitting pretty. You've dealt with so many injuries. I still think there's a chance as the season goes on, and you can get hopefully some guys back in the lineup, that you get better as you move forward here. And hopefully, maybe Derrick Henry at some point when the playoffs come around. Like, this kind of feels like your shot if you're the Titans this year, based on, you know, I'm not saying they're going to be a bad team next year or anything, but there are some decisions that they're going to have to make. It's setting up nicely, even not only from the way their roster is constructed this year, but look at the AFC right now. Like, this is setting up pretty nicely for the Titans, because there's not really a great, great team in the NFL or in the AFC that they have to worry about. Like, the Buffalo Bills, I think, are really good. I think the Ravens are really good. None of these teams are like just juggernauts right now.
Right. Now, can any of those teams who are in the AFC playoffs beat this team, especially without Derrick Henry in the playoffs?
Sure.
Yeah, but I agree. This is an opportunity to go get it. And, yeah, I don't think they're going to be a bad team next year either. But when you look at these tough choices and the numbers, the problem is the last two drafts are not right now filling in the gaps moving forward like they should. That's the problem. You know, yeah, you'd like to have a Radunz or whoever this year helping. You are going to get Fulton back. He matters a lot. But you'd like to have more of these high picks last year drafts helping a lot. But, like, you're fine. You've got most of what you need if you get everybody healthy. It's down the road that could really hurt you.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. Get to a little buy or sell edition for the Titans. Welcome your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The deal this week is a $30 gift card for only $15 to the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, your favorite community coffee and tea shop, offering a variety of coffee flavors and shine-worthy teas. The Beanbag is a great place to have a meeting while sipping on a cup of hot or cold coffee or tea, and you can also enjoy a delicious breakfast sandwich, cheddar broccoli soup, turkey sandwiches, and more. Get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Got a texter on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that says, go to your employer and just tell them you want to make 1% of what Ryan Tannehill makes, and they'd probably actually agree to that until they actually look at the numbers. May not be a bad strategy.
I mean, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. It sounds low.
Hey.
I'm going to jump on that, too.
It does sound low. And then you look at the numbers, and you're like, oh, okay, cool.
So now here's me struggling with math like normal. So let's see. That means this year you would get about 110K.
Yeah.
And then next year, about 386K.
Talk about a jump.
Yeah, not bad.
Hey, maybe we'll give that a shot. It is time for a Titans buy or sell edition. We welcome your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We begin with this question, Joe Rexroad. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Kevin Byard will finish with more than 8 picks. He's got 5. His career high is 8. He will finish with more than 8 interceptions and establish a new career high. So I guess a better way to ask that, 9 or more picks for Kevin Byard. Do you buy or do you sell?
That's asking a lot.
It is.
I mean, he's made obviously a lot of plays, has 5 right now with 8 games to go.
That would be 4
in
8 games.
Sell. Yeah. More math. Yeah. More math on the show. I'm going to sell. You know, I think he gets a couple more, and he's having a great year. But that's asking a lot of a safety.
They still got to play the Texans twice. I'm buying this sucker all day long. He's going to finish with 10. He will have 10 picks this
year.
Wow.
So this is a called shot. That's a very good called shot. Okay. 10. That's a big number, man.
I'm buying it.
Okay. Yeah, he's, I mean, I can see it.
He is in the zone right now.
It's a good question. It's close. It's just hard to count on that. But, yeah, I agree. He's in the zone. And they do play some questionable quarterbacks. Now, Tyrod Taylor certainly better than the rookie Giraffe.
He is, although it didn't look that much better the other day.
No, it didn't look great, yeah. So,
but, yes.
He got a shot.
Well, at least if, you know, Davis Mills was in there. He'd be able to see where Kevin Byard is at all times. You always know where Kevin Byard is. Am I ever going to let that go?
I'd probably not. Yeah.
I mean, he'll probably be out of the league next year. But
it was a magical year, if that's the case.
It was interesting to hear Vrabel's response yesterday of the Byard freelancing question of basically as long as it doesn't hurt the team, Vrabel does not care. Just go get the football. It was awesome to hear that. And yeah. Kevin Byard, I think, is – probably demonstrated at this point in his career that he knows when to take risks and when not to, for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's probably one of those plays that some coaches will be like, no, yes, yeah. You know.
Well, it's funny. You watch the replay of Byard's pick six, and, like, as soon as he catches the ball, the slow-mo cuts over to the sideline, and Vrabel's just got his fist up. He's like, he could see it coming the whole way. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite Lane Kiffin throwing the clipboard awesome, but it was great.
Yeah, it was Yeah, it's one of those just automatic timing throws. But that's why if you are a guy like Byard and the way he goes about his business, you see things and you can break on plays like that. That's just a big-time veteran play.
By the way, Marco on the text line says, my wife understands none of this, but I just want to thank the Titans for being consistent because they gained a beautiful fan and a nice picture of Marco and his wife. So we appreciate them listening. Great stuff.
Hey.
Titans just gaining fans by the day.
We're getting some pictures on the text line.
I like
That's
it.
Nice. All right.
All right. Buy or sell? Deontay Foreman will lead the Titans in carries for the remainder of the season. He leads the Titans in carries for the remainder of the season. Do you buy or do you sell?
Pooh, man. That's also a good one. I don't have a great feel at all for that. I could see him being third, you know. I do think he was the most impressive of the guys running the ball, but is he a heavy volume guy? I also think there are a couple blocks he missed that they're going to need to work on that.
Yep.
Pass pro, but also the reverse. I'm going to sell. I'm gonna say Adrian Peterson still is that guy, but I don't feel confident in that answer.
I don't really know how this is gonna play out. I mean, obviously nobody really knows how it's gonna play out. I will sell with the idea that Adrian Peterson, as the weeks go by, he gets more action underneath him, that he gets more comfortable in this offense and he leads the team and carries the West rest of the way. But I do think it'll be close. Like, I don't think Adrian Peterson is going to – you're going to look at the end of the season and Adrian Peterson's got like 95 more carries than Foreman or anything. I think it's going to be pretty close.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. By the way, Javontez Spraggins for the Vols, they just showed like 9 straight replays of him. I don't even know what you call that, the Kentucky defender. Like that's not a pancake. That's like a waffle stack. I don't know. But, Jeff Saturday just loved that play. But anyway, yeah. Good stuff.
Do you buy or do you sell? The Titans have the best defensive front in the AFC. The best defensive front in the AFC. Bud Dupree, Harold Landry, Jeffrey Simmons, Danico Autry.
Okay, well, this is subjective, obviously.
It is.
We just watched the Steelers last night.
Looked pretty good.
You know, Bud Dupree's old team with Hayward and Watt, pretty good.
Ravens still got a good front?
Yeah. I guess I buy it.
Isn't it kind of amazing we're having this conversation?
I want to put it on layaway.
Okay.
So, at this point, they looked like that Sunday night. They looked like a dominant NFL front Sunday night. And that's not the first time that they've looked like that. They're going to be that every week? We'll see. And there's some really good contenders for that. Yeah, the Bills are also very strong. But, yeah, I'll buy.
I'm going to buy, too. Look, again, I think what we saw Sunday night may be a little extreme in terms of expectations moving forward. Like, Jeffrey Simmons is not going to have 3 sacks every game moving forward here. But that was a pretty good illustration Sunday night of what they can be. I'm buying it. It's kind of amazing we're having that conversation based on the way this team was constructed last year on the pass rush.
It is. And 2 of the guys are the same.
Yeah.
But those 2 guys who are new have helped. Well, especially I guess we shouldn't give Bud Dupree too much credit for what Harold Landry's doing. Yeah. I do think that that's a nice – you have to take both into account if you're an offense. So that alone does help you some. But I think Autry certainly has
helped. He's been a beast.
Somebody. Yeah, and I think that those 2 together have been exactly what was envisioned. I remember – I thought that Autry was the best signing the offseason, and right now, no doubt.
You're concerned about Ryan Tannehill's interceptions at this point. Do you buy or do you sell? Concerned about Ryan Tannehill's interceptions.
Yeah, I'm selling. I'll sell pretty quickly on that. Now, I'm not saying that they're all good. I mean, he stared down A.J. Brown on that first one against a guy that you have to know is just not like every other corner. He's just better. He's the best corner in the NFL. So that was a miscalculation, and he's had a couple other ones this year that I thought were bad. You know, the Colts one, I mean, the explanation on that is, I mean, it was a really good job of the Colts throwing a curveball at Tannehill. But I'm selling. I don't think it's like some massive issue. Every quarterback throws some picks. You're going to have a stinker every once in a while.
Jared's very concerned
about
Ryan Tannehill's interceptions.
Is he?
Yes.
Like, is he worried?
Yes.
I'm worried.
He's worried.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you want to clean him up, but I don't see it as some huge constant thing where he's throwing the ball into danger. There was another one that was a little bit off the other night that could have been picked. But how many opportunities is he giving defenses to pick him off every game? You want none. And he's had plenty of games with the Titans where it wasn't really a thing. But you also, in this league, you have to fit the ball into tight windows sometimes. It's just like that first one the other night, that was an example of like not understanding like who you're throwing toward.
I'm going to buy it from this standpoint. I am worried without Derrick Henry in the backfield that Tannehill will try to force it more with not having Derrick Henry in the running game. So I'm worried about the turnovers from that standpoint. I don't think that Tannehill has just been like atrocious this year or anything when it comes to taking care of the football. But I'm worried moving forward without Henry, he could be tried to be a little bit more aggressive maybe than normal out there.
Yeah.
Fair or unfair?
No, I think that's fair. I mean, that's actually what I thought of when he threw that first pick. Like, man, you know, you don't have to like, you know, make it all
thread
up
the needle
in one series. Right, yeah. I mean, he's 11 touchdowns, 8 picks right now. That's the numbers show a massive step back for Tannehill. I don't think it's been that, but you certainly want more TD passes, and you want to start. You don't want to. So he's on a pace for stupid.
It's a lot of math.
Game season. Yeah, I mean he's on a pace for like what 15 picks.
Yeah,
that's you want to see if you can keep it to about 11 or 12, and get the touchdowns into the 20s.
We'll continue the Titans buy or sell edition coming up next. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keith Bullock coming up at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road. All that ahead, you're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Mike Vrabel yesterday at his press conference. Haven't known that question from our good friend Luke Worsham.
No, Luke. By the way, I'm so glad that you played that, Michelle, because I have not. I mean, I should have done a rant about Luke last week. I made fun of him at the facility, but I need to make fun of him on the air because the Derrick Henry press conference, I think the fourth question was Luke by – can we pivot to the pass interference calls, please? I'd like to talk about the pass interference calls.
Forget Derrick Henry.
And Vrabel's like, thank you. Yes. Let's do that. Love you, Luke.
Love it. That was awesome. Speaking of Vrabel, as we continue on with our buy or sell Titans edition, I got a question for you I think that you like that is intriguing that I'm not sure many people are talking about. Mike Vrabel signed a 5-year contract when he was first hired. This is year 4. Buy or sell, Mike Vrabel has done enough to deserve a contract extension with the Titans. He has done enough to deserve a contract extension with the Titans. Do you buy or do you sell?
That is an interesting topic. You're right. I have not heard that talked about. I have not thought about it. And I would buy. I would say yes. I mean, he's come in and it's been successful from the start. Hasn't been perfect. Maybe some growing pains early. Maybe some bumps in the road. Overall, awfully impressive. He's a good coach. Someone else would like to have him. So yeah. I would buy that.
I'll buy it, and I'll take it a step further. I'd be pretty surprised if over the off season that doesn't happen. Like, I doubt very seriously he's heading into next year with no contract extension. Would just be my guess.
Yeah.
I don't know that, but my guess is Vrabel's probably going to get that.
Yeah.
And there are some Titans fans that will say, what if they go one and done in the playoffs? You give him a contract extension? My answer is yes.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's always a grass is always greener kind of thing, and there's this coach or that coach that you covet. And it's not like – you know, stability in the NFL is the same as like college sports or college football, but they've got a pretty solid overall thing going. I know we're talking right now after this last win and the next bad loss they have, minds change, you know, based on what the last result was, but overall pretty compelling evidence that you should want to lock him up.
Do you buy or do you sell that Shane Bowen and Todd Downing have shown enough to make you a believer they were the right hires? They were the right hires for the job. Do you buy or do you sell? Or is the jury still out? I think that's a tough one.
I would sell just because, again, it's like with the Heupel discussion earlier. We're going to have people saying, you were proven wrong. Josh Heupel, but okay, he's been good. It's been impressive, but I mean, at that job, you're hired to bring Tennessee back to being a contender to at least get to Atlanta. I don't see that yet. And I think with these guys, I think it's two very different stories. One is a guy who sort of was the D coordinator last year, and it was a very bad year, and this is his first real chance to do it. And it hasn't been great all year, but it's obviously gotten a lot better.
Yep.
So, like, the confidence is definitely surging there. And I think with Todd Downing, I think he got blamed because the OC gets blamed. I mean, the OC just gets blamed for more than the OC should probably get blamed for in general this sport. But it was one bad year with a lot of stuff that happened, and so far I think he's been good. So I would lean toward yes, but right now I'm not ready to completely buy. Let's see how that plays out. Obviously, Todd Downing now has a very big challenge ahead of him. It's not his fault, but we're going to learn more about him. And with Bowen, it's been quite a turnaround here.
It's been quite the turnaround. I'm going to sell slightly as well, although I think I'm really encouraged by both. The Todd Downing thing is interesting because we've talked about how much pressure he's got on him this year with Arthur Smith out the door. I think in a lot of ways that pressure right now has been alleviated a little bit. You don't have Derrick Henry. Your offense is going to suffer from that. I don't think there's any question about it. If the Titans can still have a good, decent to good offense moving down the stretch here, even without Derrick Henry, I think that speaks well for Todd Downing. So I've been encouraged by a lot of things that I've seen from him. I was worried, even beyond the absolute disaster that it was on the line of scrimmage in the first game against Arizona, where you couldn't really, it was tough to judge anything. There were some moments in that game where I was like, the play calling here is just not good, and that's going to have to get better. Now, to his credit, I think he's learned, and I think they've adjusted as the season has gone on. I kind of like the balance that they bring to the table, even when Derrick Henry was still in there in the last few games. But been encouraged by Todd Downing, not quite willing to buy as of yet. But certainly been good so far.
Yeah. Well, the pressure's up, but of course, any coach would be like, yeah, I'll take the pressure and like the great player.
Absolutely.
But because there's pressure now to figure this out, and it's going to be harder to figure it out. Overall, he's had some, I think, really good days. Like early on, that's the thing. You think about the first game, right? Let's have this exact discussion after week one against the Cards. Let's go back and talk, Vrabel extension and outstanding coordinator hires. That's why you got to let things play out. You got to know week one often lies, and then you got to let things play out. But it's been, overall, I think, good. And speaking of the last OC, by the way, that they're a playoff team right now.
Yeah, they are.
How about that?
Pretty crazy.
Arthur Smith has got them at 4-4 and in if the season ended today.
Yeah.
So it was big shoes to fill for Todd Downing. I think he's done a really good job overall.
Do you buy or do you sell? Julio Jones still has enough in the tank to be an elite wide receiver. An elite wide receiver. Obviously, the hamstring injury is a problem.
Okay, I buy. Yeah, well, I buy that he has enough in the tank. I buy that he's good enough.
Okay,
I
mean, that's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, no, I buy that absolutely.
Because there are some people who don't.
Like when he gets the ball, he still looks like Julio Jones to me. Now we haven't seen a lot down the field lately. Remember, we did see that in the Seattle game. But like the other night, the Titans were not trying to do that with the offensive line the way it was. You got to have that. You got to be able to create a pocket for a while to be able to take deep shots. I think he's got that in him too. So, yeah, I fully buy actually that just with the obvious.
Got to get healthy.
The question about health. Yeah, I mean, but if he doesn't have any more issues there, I think you're going to see, is it going to be absolute vintage top of his game? Julio, like top receiver in the game without question because he has been that? No, but still really good.
All right, last one quickly. The number one seed this season would be the greatest regular season accomplishment in Titans history. If they get the number one seed this season, which, by the way, they've gotten before a couple of times, they've been the number one seed, would it be the greatest regular season accomplishment in Titans history? Do you buy or do you sell?
See, first of all, I mean, I have to raise my hand on this and say this is where I'm not as strong on history. Like in 08, how impressive was that? It was
impressive.
Like the huge win over Pittsburgh that year, right?
I would put 08 as more impressive than 2000. The 2000 team was better, but you just came off the Super Bowl. Like everybody thought they'd be pretty good.
Right.
08 kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
With Kerry Collins as your quarterback.
But But I mean, if you get that and you have more than it'll be more than half the year, you won't have Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna buy.
I'm gonna buy too. The injuries this team has had. Oh yeah, I think this would be the greatest regular season accomplishment in Titans history.
Yeah,
pretty amazing to think about.
It is, and we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Oh, way ahead.
They might go 3-5 down the stretch, but hey,
it's fun to talk about.
They might go 7-1 too.
Can you imagine?
I mean, it's
possible. It really is.
I mean, they should go 6-2. That's the thing, and it kind of goes to that question too. Like, they should go 6-2.
Yeah,
they will be favored to go 6-2 at least. I think they'll probably be slight dogs at New England and Pittsburgh, I guess.
Probably.
But they're going to be favored in all the other games.
When we come back, we'll be joined by former Titans linebacker Keith Bullock. Get his thoughts on this Titans team and their chances to maybe represent the AFC in the Super Bowl as they move forward. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.